How important are grandparents to society? We all celebrate Mother's Day in May, Father's Day in June, but in September, there's Grandparents' Day. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Ken Canfield. He's written many books and many articles on the importance of family, and lately he's been involved in strengthening the role of grandparents. In fact, his website is grandkidsmatter.org. Dr. Canfield, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, Jerry, and it's great to bring a fresh word to grandparents who are the catalyst to strengthen and renew the family. I really believe that.
And I understand that come 2020, so just in a couple of years, there'll be about 80 or something million grandparents in America?
Yes. Fastest growing demographic related to the family. And we're seeing huge and positive results as that demographic grows into what I'd say their best time.
Well, I'll tell you this. I became a grandparent about 5 years ago, and I've got some great pictures to show you if you want to see them. No, but I can't believe it. I mean, it really was, it was far greater than I thought it would be, cracked out to be. I mean, it's just been fantastic.
Well, I've got a name for that. I know we all understand God has many names. He's a healer, a provider, his banner. And grandparenting is a new aspect of this love of God. I call it Jehovah surprise you. Huh. It just overwhelms you, yeah, and brings a sense of joy that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, and I'll confess something on the air. I've grown to appreciate something that I never appreciated before, and that is Chuck E. Cheese's. You wouldn't believe how much my little grandkids love that place.
And you're paying for it too, and smiling all the way to the cash register.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but it really is a great thing. First of all, there are even situations in a lot of households now, especially with the breakdown of the family at large, where sometimes grandparents are essentially the parents of many children in our society. Isn't that true? Would that be the case for millions even of children?
Yes. Unfortunately, within the grandparenting segment, the 80 million, there are 2.5 million grandparents raising their grandchildren. Now think back, Jerry. Mm. It used to be you took in your parents or grandparents when they aged. It's flipped now with so many families fragmented and distance and, you know, difficulties with behaviors, sometimes incarceration. It leaves children vulnerable and grandparents are stepping in. So right now, currently 7.8 million grandchildren under the age of 18 are living with and being reared by their grandparents.
Wow, that is amazing. All right, first of all, why are grandparents important to society at large?
Well, this is what we have to wake up and really see. In America, we have underestimated the power of the clan and the history that generations bring. In other cultures, they get it. There's deep respect for the elders, et cetera, et cetera. But America is real mobile. It's here, there, everywhere. And so what has happened is the nuclear family has taken precedence over, you know, the continuity of generations. And so why is it so important? Because young families, they have needs that can be resourced by grandparents, given the relationship is good and healthy, that they could benefit greatly from. And the end product is grandkids have a host of positive social and personal indicators when grandparents are involved in their life. Hmm. It's a win-win for both.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this. When I grew up, my grandparents on my dad's side, well, my grandfather was dead, and he died, you know, long before I was even born, about 20 years before. But anyway, the grandmother was in Minnesota. We were in Chicago. And then my grandparents on my mom's side were in New Orleans. And so getting to see them was always a great privilege, but it was not something that was common. Now, thankfully, my daughter lives across town. And, you know, even right now, as you and I are speaking, my grandson is with my wife, and I even got to go home during lunch and just say hello, you know, real briefly. But the 2-year-old is with her at this time. This is fantastic to have that access to the grandkids.
Yeah, I hope every listener heard what Jerry just said. This is fantastic. Now, the background of Jerry is also important. 1/3 of all grandparents today have little to no contact with their grandparents. Mm. Such was Jerry's story. Not totally, but it was so intermittent and so infrequent, he didn't get to enjoy the privilege of seeing modeled before him what grandparents were supposed to do. And that's why, Jerry, I founded the National Association for Grandparenting, because we need the best resources, the best insights. And so at grandkidsmatter.org, you can find articles, ideas, strategies to help you excel in the education of your grandchildren and also establish healthy boundaries, because that's important too.
You know, I have to pay tribute to my son-in-law in this, because he is a software engineer, and he probably could go greater, you know, to greater places and so forth. But you know, only so far, let's say, in this particular community. But he's got a good job, but he could do better out of the community. But then that would take him away not only from, you know, my daughter's parents, meaning my wife and me, but also his parents. So our grandchildren have the best of both worlds. They have, you know, all 4 grandchildren, grandparents rather, living relatively close by. And I thank my son-in-law for that privilege.
Hey, that's awesome. And that's something that I think we need to listen closely to. What are the benefits of family solidarity, of where you can see generations? I mean, for your grandchildren to have access to you, an aging patriarch in the family system, it is healthy for him. And vice versa, there are benefits that grandparents, and we heard one, this is fantastic, says Jerry, that come when you are engaged in your grandchildren's life. There are emotional benefits, there are physical benefits, there are mental benefits. And what we need to do is sit back and look and say, what has God planned for us as grandparents? These should be our best days.
Hmm. I remember one time we had a situation where we were at a restaurant, and our granddaughter, who was the oldest, she was about 2 years old at the time, very limited vocabulary, but it was both sets of grandparents and her parents and her. Okay? So here we were, and she looked at each person, and then she said, "Happy." And she realized there was something special about mm-hmm. all of us being together at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, out of the mouth of babes. And really out of the hearts. Here she has limited vocabulary, but she knows in her spirit when a family has consensus, when they have opportunity to be together, this is something that brings a great sense of comfort to her soul and to her life. And that extends. It's not just during those little toddler or early childhood years. During adolescence, all children begin to move away and test their parents' ideals. And I tell parents this too, Jerry, in respect to what we have learned, much of our parenting was based on expectations, performance, discipline, guidance. I mean, you had to, as a parent, as you remember, make sure that those were all kept in line. What I say, that parenting is somewhat like an Old Testament expression, very important and critical. You know what grandparenting's like? It's like a New Testament infusion of love and grace. Hmm. It comes out of nowhere. You just can't get enough and see the wonder in these grandchildren's lives and eyes and their potential. And so for your granddaughter who says happy, I know in your spirit you're saying the same thing.
Mm. Amen. Can grandparents spoil their grandchildren?
Absolutely. Researchers noted that one of the things that grandparents enjoy is a sense of vicarious achievement. That is, their children and grandchildren exceed them in some way. But then this indulgence of just, you know, lavishing, and I would like to say more than just ice cream and gifts and so forth, but lavishing on them affirmation, time, love, your countenance, that's what we need to spoil them with. And most important, because I know who's listening likely right now, we've got to lavish the spiritual heritage that we want to pass on to them. We cannot disregard or underestimate the power of prayer for them as they go through life. I mean, it's a different world from what you as a grandparent or a parent are growing up in. And so even as a parent, your parents or the grandparents of your children are far away, solicit them to regularly pray for your children. And I believe this is going to be a way to engage grandparents regardless of their situation or location.
All right. Now, the word spoil, though, you know, obviously has a negative connotation as well. It's almost as if you basically said, yes, grandparents should lavish love on their grandchildren, you know, even in effect spoiling them. But there's a negative side to spoiling in terms of, you know, I don't want my grandkids to turn out to be diabetics. And sometimes I wonder, you know, where one is playing off of her parents. And then off of us, you know, in order to get an extra treat out of the deal.
Well, that's something that you establish with the parents. I mean, they'll have boundaries and perhaps choices of foods. You have gluten intolerance and so many things. Today, we know so much more. But spoiling is, you know, giving and giving and not taking care of. If you do not wrap up the leftovers of a meal and just leave them out, eventually they'll spoil. What we need to do is be forward thinking as our role dictates and look for those times. And when I think spoiling, I think this proactive, intentional, loving and caring is something that we can't overdo. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have boundaries and expectations. I'm not saying that. When it comes to the spiritual resources and heritage, your legacy, you have to be intentional and forward-thinking about that.
Can you make any comments on little cell phone devices, screen time, and you know how some of that could potentially be negative for children, maybe even television viewing?
Yeah, as we know, and research supports this, if you put a child in front of uninterrupted television, it not only mesmerizes, it turns into sedentary behavior. It also gets them to fixate in a way for a long period of time that's not healthy. Mm. Take your grandkids outdoors. Now, if there's a hurricane or tornado, you don't take them outdoors. Oh, look. Look what granddad wants to show you. No, what you need to do is look for ways to pull back from this technology that's just sucking the vitality out of this younger generation. You need to monitor screen time, and you need to keep it in sync with, of course, their parents' expectations. Just don't have them come to your house and watch television. Make sure there are activities, crafts, stories. I tell grandparents their house is like a museum, and you're the curator. Make sure when they come over, you show them all the stuff. You know, kids are curious. They want to know, well, where did that come from or how did you get that? There are times of teaching all around us, and we need to seize the moment and communicate that in a tangible face-to-face way.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. The website, again, is grandkidsmatter.org. Our guest is Dr. Ken Canfield. We have 10 seconds left. Do you want to say a concluding thought, sir?
Well, I would just say we're here for grandparents. Whatever situation, go to grandkidsmatter.org. We'd love to help you in your blessed state.
All right.
Be with you, Jerry.
Thank you, Dr. Canfield. God bless.